Well, praise the Lord. Now, those songs are all new songs, and they're really just songs to minister to your spirit. Now, the last song, in case you didn't catch it, was a prophetic song from God. There's all kind of new music coming out right now. And I noticed all the singers have got a lot of new songs out. So God is letting us know through His people how He feels about us and what we can do. All right. So I just want you to take these songs into your spirits. You ought to go home and just listen to them in your car or something, and just let them minister to you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, and I give you all honor and all glory. Everyone, Father God, that's come out here this morning came for a purpose, and that's to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. So I'm asking right now, Father God, that the Holy Spirit come and in all of its glory and minister to your people as they sit here this morning. And Father, your angelic host, I know, are here. And Father God, let them do what you've instructed them to do. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The other day, it came to me that God told us we're all going through a Job experience, right? Then He told us the whole church was going through a Job experience. And I want you to think about it. What was the thing that brought Job to his knees? Sickness. He lost everything, but the thing that brought him to his knees was sickness. And if you listen to what's going on in the body of Christ, there's a whole lot of people sick. So if you're sick, there's something ailing your body. And look how the devil just tormented him with sickness like crazy. Don't let that, if you're sick, there's things plaguing your body, don't let that discourage you. It's just the end of your Job experience. It's the end of your Job experience. Isn't that awesome? God showed me that. I just love the way God shows me different things and explains it to me so we can get the full understanding of what's really going on. I don't know about you, but I never related the sickness with what Job was going through. And God just showed me that the other day. So the enemy's on the prowl, and we know he's on the prowl. Amen? And we cannot let him win any more battles. Because God said that the battle has already been won. So just let's quit letting him win the battles, and let's win the battles. It's one of the things God showed me, and I can't remember what it was right now. This is about the message now. I have been going through some things, and I had somebody from the church praying for me and write me back and forth, and finally I just sat down. They wrote something really made me sit down and cry. Have you ever been to a place where you just have to cry? And I cried and I cried and I cried. I said, God, what is going on? He said, you're broken. You're broken. And what happened, God said we're in the Garden of Gethsemane experience. What happened to Jesus in the garden? He was broken. Isn't God awesome? And so because God told me that, then he said there's a lot of brokenness in the body of Christ. And so we're going to be talking about brokenness this morning. We have to understand that God is our Father, and He's not like natural fathers. God takes care of His children. Natural fathers nowadays just have children and forget them. But God has children, and He never forgets any of us. He doesn't care how many there are. He loves us all. Amen. And He wants the very best for each, just not one of us, but each and every one of us. He wants the very best for us. Quit thinking God only blesses one person. He doesn't bless one person. He blesses all who call upon His name. And we're all equal in the eyes of God. You're not bigger than me, and I'm not bigger than you. We are all equal in the eyes of God, and we're here for one purpose, and that is to do His will. Amen. And we read about Jesus in the garden. It took Him 3 times praying before He finally said, "All right, God, Your will, Your way." So if you're still not to the 3rd time yet saying, "All right, God, Your will, Your way," get there quickly. And then let God do the things that He has to do within you. And when Jesus was completely broken, that's when He said, "All right, Father, not my will be done, but Your will be done." Amen. And I'm telling you, a lot of us are going through our Garden of Gethsemane experience hard because we still will not give it all to God. We still want to hold on to it. And when I found out that I was broken within you, pressures had come to the point where just put me out there. And then God healed me of that. After He told me what it was, I prayed, He healed me of that. And then, you know, when I was able to go to my family and ask them to forgive me for, in my brokenness, in my hurt, that I lashed out. And you know what? They cried with me and they said, "That's okay. You had a right to do that." And so there was a lot of healing took place. Circumstances haven't changed, but healing took place. And I think that's what the problem with the body of Christ is. We want things to change, and God wants things to heal. All right? And I think it's time that we start letting God take care of our brokenness, letting Him heal us so we can heal others. A broken person cannot heal another broken person. Somebody has to be healed. All right? All right, what does the Bible say about being mired in brokenness? Father, we come before You this morning mired in our own brokenness. You never promised us an easy or painless life, but You have promised to purify our hearts to be more like You. You know, whenever I first was born again, you've heard the story before, but I just thought everybody was going to love me, and we were just going to go into church. It just had the most marvelous time in the world. And one time I was crying out to God, and God said, "I never promised you a rose garden. I never did. I never told you to be born again that everything would be perfect." He said, "That was just you in your mind." All right? Being broken before God isn't easy. It is a time of deep soul searching, leaning not to our own understanding and allowing God's truth to permeate the darkness of the world that has surrounded us. This is what I had to do. I had to do some really deep soul searching to find out exactly why I was so broken. And then God shared with me all that I needed to know. Brokenness is the condition of being so crushed by inward or outward circumstances and having no other place to turn to but to God. We live in a broken world full of people filled with the soul's deepest needs. They might look all put together on the outside, but the truth is that the person who seems like they have it all together is hiding their emotional pain. Anguish of heart permeates our life by either outward circumstances or from the result of sin. Anguish of heart permeates our life by either outward circumstances or from the result of sin. Mine was from outward circumstances. What is yours from? What is brokenness, and how does God use it for His glory? The Free Dictionary defines the word brokenness as forcibly separated into 2 pieces. Torn apart by divorce, separation, or desertion of parents, to have been violated, incomplete, subdued, totally, incomplete, crushed by grief. I know people today who are crushed by grief and are broken, and what they need to be healed from that grief before their brokenness will go away. You might, when my mother died 3 years later, God said, "Are you going to die with your mother?" So the grief was down in there, and I was broken for 3 whole years and didn't even realize it. You might have a hard time swallowing this, but if you are a follower of Jesus, you cannot escape the heart-wrenching experience of being broken before God. It's just going to happen if you're going to do anything for the Father. there will be some time in your life where you will be broken before the Lord. It's just going to happen. Trials rain upon those that are in Christ and outside of Christ. And Matthew 5:45 tells us, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust. So therefore we are not exempt from this brokenness. Brokenness cannot be easily broad-brushed with one simple definition. You cannot fit those heavy burdens of great suffering into a box, because they will be different for each person. Each one of you will have your own brokenness because of your personality, your life, the things around about you. Yours isn't going to be like mine, and mine won't be like yours. So we can't look at somebody else and say, oh, well, this is what's wrong with me. No, you need to go to the Father and allow him to show you why you're broken. I'm going to tell you, when being broken is really hard, because life seems to just quit. And you're trying to get the joy of the Lord manifest in your life, and you really have to work and work and work getting that joy manifested. Because when you're broken, everything dies. All right, for some, brokenness comes as a result of their sin. For others, it might be death, physical hardship, illness, disability, grieving over loved ones who have died, abuse, or losing everything in life. Being broken spiritually before the Lord is being compressed and squeezed by outward circumstances or by sin. See, another reason why I was broken is because of this stupid illness that's been going on since last August. And I can't do my housework, I can't do the things that need to be done. And that's frustrating if you're a housewife, when things need to be done and you're not able to do it, nobody around about you will do it, And seeing that was part of my brokenness, that was really weighing me down. All right, there are a whole lot of ways to be broken, and from our souls to our fingertips, brokenness is woven throughout all our human experience. Your experiences that you go through in life will bring brokenness to you. And God is the only one that can heal it. You have to take everything to God in order for it to be healed and to be taken care of totally and completely. A friend can help you. The Christian friend that was emailing me and encouraging me, that did help me. That made me go before the Father. What is really wrong with me? And I was really becoming a little bit hardened. Have you ever done that? Because you just can't grasp what's going on in your life. And you're not getting any answers from God. But see, God used another person to minister to me. And that's when I cried out to God. I had been crying out to God, but this made me cry out in a whole different way. God knows exactly what we need in our life, guys. I have found out one thing, everybody needs somebody. You can't be out there all by yourself. I know it's just sometimes God says just you and I, but you still need that little bit of flesh, that friend, that somebody you can go to and talk to, I don't know why, I guess that's the way God made us, right? I don't guess nothing. That is the way he made us. If that's not the case, why did he give Adam Eve? Why did he make Adam? Because he wants somebody to talk to, right? If anything involves us intimately, God has a lot to say about it. Always remember that. Scripture is brimming with themes of broken people, situations, hearts, and most importantly, a broken Savior. When God was telling about being broken, he said, why do you think you're in the garden? He took us to the Garden of Gethsemane because he knew we was broken, and he wanted to set us free like he did Jesus. God is so awesome. Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5 helps us to see our brokenness from the cross's perspective. That Jesus was wounded for the wrong we did. He was crushed for the evil we did. The punishment which made us well was given to him, and we are healed because of his wounds. we are healed from brokenness because he was broken. One of the saddest examples of being broken before the Lord was King David. Even though he was a man after God's heart, he had committed terrible sins that revealed his true nature before God. His sin was staring him in the face, and there was nothing for him to do but humble himself before God in submission. David not only committed adultery with Bathsheba, but he also tried to cover up his sexual sin by sending Bathsheba's husband home to spend time with his wife. Why did he do that? To cover up the pregnancy that resulted from David's sin. When that didn't work, he sent Uriah to the heaviest part of the battle so that he would be killed. David's brokenness was adultery, deception, conspiracy, and murder. David's brokenness was, see, not just one thing. It was adultery, deception, conspiracy, and murder. David's grief over his sin was swallowing him up, and in that brokenness he penned the words of Psalm 51 and asked God to create a new heart within him and to renew a right spirit within him. Psalm 51 was one of the most beautiful examples of restoration and beauty in the broken. How many of you have said, God, just like David, God, create a new heart within me. Create me afresh and anew. I don't like where I'm going to, and I need you, Father. If you haven't, you will. You'll go there. You'll go there more than one time, because the circumstance around about you don't stop, and you have more than one time of brokenness within. All right, let's talk about the broken life of Peter. Another instance in the Bible of brokenness is that of Peter. Jesus told Peter that he was going to betray Jesus even before the rooster had crowed three times. Peter could have humbled himself at that very moment, but instead decided to deny the truth of what Jesus spoke. In Matthew 26:33 says, Peter answered and said to Jesus, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Never say never. I have found out if I say I'll never do that, I do that. Jesus said to Peter, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Peter thought he knew more than God, didn't he? But he didn't, did he? Peter denied the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine the horrible guilt that he felt of not standing up for the Lord and also for cursing his Savior in front of those who said he was a follower of the Lord? And you know, Peter was real brave when Jesus was there. But when Jesus was taken, he wasn't brave any longer. When Peter left the courtyard where he denied the Lord Jesus, the Bible says he wept bitterly. Peter was a broken man before the Lord. Now, Peter's brokenness was betrayal, denial, cursing, and guilt. Let's talk about the broken life of Jesus. The ultimate account of brokenness can be found in our Savior Jesus in Matthew 26:36-56. You can read that at home. Matthew 26:36-56. Everything that we've talked about thus far was caused by sin of the brokenhearted. But the brokenness of Jesus was due to no cause of his own. Jesus was sinless. As Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sorrowful and full of heaviness. He knew that his life would be required as a final sacrifice for sin. He was God, but he yielded himself to go to the cross so we could gain eternal life. What are you doing in the garden? Are you allowing God to change you and rearrange you? Are you dying to every ounce of your flesh like Jesus did? Are you still just sitting, contemplating what you want to do in the garden? When God said we were going through the Garden of Gethsemane experience last time we were here, he meant we should imitate Jesus. Jesus went to the Father two times, asking God, please don't make me go to the cross. But the third time he went, he died to his flesh, and he said, not your will be done, but not my will be done, but your will be done, Father. He finally died to self. He finally allowed God to break him. And until you allow God to break you, you're never going to be totally and completely free to serve him 100%. You know, whenever you're fussing, why don't you just think about what Jesus really went through for you? I'm quite sure he didn't go, oh, well, hey, this sounds like a good thing. Let's just let me be whipped and spit on and hit with clubs. And then finally, when I can't hardly walk, make me drag a cross up a hill and then nail me to that cross and let me hang before everybody naked. I'm quite sure he didn't do that because none of that was funny. Very painful, very degrading. But he did it for you and I. And don't you feel guilty that you fuss and moan and groan, that you don't really serve God 100% after everything he did for you. Okay, where am I at? There are so many other Bible accounts in the Bible that can open our eyes to the spirit of true brokenness. The Apostle Paul comes to mind. When Jesus hung on the cross, the beauty of brokenness was on full display. Jesus' brokenness was nothing. His brokenness was because of you and I. Jesus did nothing wrong. Why does God take our brokenness? We must not forget the real meaning of or meanings of brokenness. Brokenness might not be a foreign concept to us, but is often a misunderstood one. Let's not settle for a trendy idea of brokenness. We need to understand what true brokenness is. It is an undeniable reality. It is at times striking brutality. It is a raw humanness. It is an inherent beauty, and it is a place in God's heart. I read a lot about brokenness, and what some people say about brokenness, they just poo-poo it. You know, it's not, no, you can't do that. You have to allow God to break you. There are five meanings of brokenness in the Bible. While there might be more, these five brokenness themes give us a lot of insight into the true meaning of brokenness and more significantly, into God's heart and mind. Number one, broken because of ourselves. This kind of brokenness is inward, a contrite spirit over our own sinfulness, which leads to humility, surrender, and godly repentance. It is painful to look into an honest mirror, and see who we are and what we have done as people who are capable of horrible things. It's hard to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know, I just did that. I just spit all over Jesus because I couldn't love. Are you understanding what this is all about? Still, personal brokenness is an opportunity for restoration and for us to authentically enjoy our friendship with God once again. Examples, David after his affair with Bathsheba in Psalm 52, or Peter after denying Christ in Mark 14:66-72. All right, the second one is broken people can crush other people. It is true what they say, hurt people. Since we are all born with fractured and dark hearts, our intentions, speech, and actions divide, separate, and damage other people. So true. Amen. We have all been on both sides of the coin, some to greater degrees than others, but we can all probably think of times we have hurt others and we have found ourselves as a victim of another person's sin. Be honest with yourself at this point. Don't say, well, it was because of somebody else that I did that. You have to look inward and check yourself out. What kind of a person are you really? What is really in your heart? How do you really treat other people, and why do you treat them that way? Are you listening here? example, David's grief over a close friend's betrayal in Psalm 55. See, David's grief over a close friend's betrayal in Psalm 55. And I can just about say with all honesty that there isn't one person in the sound of my voice that hasn't been betrayed by a friend and has caused you brokenness. Give it up. God's saying, give that up. Let him heal you. All right, the third thing, the world is broken and breaks us also. No one gets through life without feeling the brokenness of the world. If you have ever gotten a shocking phone call or suffered an intense physical sickness or lost someone you love, you know what I'm talking about. And if you have not yet encountered a life circumstance that brings you to your knees, you will. You know, one thing that really bothered me this weekend is I read about all these terrible ways people are being killed. And, you know, they're just, I started crying. I said, God, how much longer is this going to go on? You know, innocent people, you know, are victims at the hand of evil people. So much killing and so much hate. How much, you know, I don't know about you, when you're really in love with God, you can't stand hate. You just really can't stand that. And there's so much hate in the world. I really, truly do believe that God has shown me this, that when he said that it was going to become dark and then gross darkness would cover the world, I think the gross darkness is the hate, you know, that's going on out there in the world. I've never seen so much hate in all my years. Oh, by the way, I was reading this weekend that they were interviewing people who were 110 years old, 115 years old, and you know, they had their right minds. They were out there, you know, doing whatever, normal, everyday things, enjoying life and expecting to live a whole lot longer. So I got excited, and I said, okay, gosh, God, I have a long time yet before I get 115. I always said I was going to live to be over 100. But you know what? God said, you older people, God said he's going to return your youth, your health and your youth, and he's going to use you for his glory right now. So older people get excited because we're not going to die. We're going to live. And we're not going to, these guys, these women and men were not walking around with canes and in wheelchairs. You know, they were walking like, you know, normal people do. They didn't look to be 110. They really didn't. It looked to be in their 70s. And they were asking each one, how did you live so long? And it was all because they lived happy lives. Every one of them followed God. Every one of them loved their husband or loved their wife and just had happy households. There wasn't no stress. Because, you know, they just had a mindset, we're just going to be happy. And they were laughing. They were happy. Church, it's time we do this. It's time we become happy. It's time we get out of stress. I never got sick until I got on this into a lot of stress. People moving into the home, you know, a lot of stress goes on because you have all these personalities clashing. So we're going to be happy, right? We're going to be stress-free, right? You said amen, so God heard that. And we're going to live to be in our hundreds, right? Over 100. Well, I read a while back where it said that this youth, you know, like Gabriel and them, like you, are going to live longer than we do. You're going to have long life. And I think that's exciting. So, okay, you guys aren't going to get anything out of me, you young whippersnappers. I'm going to have long life too, right? Aren't we? Come on. This we need to get that mindset. Some people say, oh, I'd rather die and get out of this mess. No, I'd rather live and be happy in this mess and help God get it cleaned up, wouldn't you? There's a whole lot of living to do out there, guys. You just have to find it. And only you can find it. Somebody else can't live your life for you. Remind me I said that, okay? I don't even know where I'm at. All right, don't let the reality scare you. Let it sober you and direct your gaze to Jesus, the one who overcomes the world and will reach into yours. And what he's talking about, the world is broken and it breaks us too, all right? All right, the example there is the prophet grieving over suffering and loss in Lamentations 3. In studying this and going through the scriptures, there was a whole lot of broken people in the Bible. A whole lot of broken people. And, you know, see, God's trying to bring these truths out so we can understand that, hey, we're no different than his Bible is. You know, the people in the Bible. We're going through life. A lot of people don't want to go through life. They want to get that in that little scary place, you know, and just stay there. You can't do that. You can't do that. Life, God told me one time, daughter, life goes on. It didn't stop just because you love me. Right? Broken lives, unexpected beauty. Number four, if you inspect the life of any well-renowned Christian author, pastor, or missionary, you will find that most often the greatest shaping of their lives came not from their strengths or moments when they got ahead, but from their struggles. I can say amen to that. It's our struggles, isn't it? You guys, after it's your struggles that get you closer to God. Because our God is a redemptive God, he will always take our brokenness and bring new life and beauty from it. Example, the entire book of Hosea, where God prophesies how he will redeem a broken people and lead them from sinfulness to healing. So I read Hosea, I said, well, how about that? That's what is it all about too, right? Come on. I think that your God is, well, no, I just hear God saying he's stretching you. And you think you've been stretched as far as you've been stretched. He said, no, he's stretching you. All right? We have a lot of living to do. Are you allowing God to stretch you? Are you allowing God to encourage you and to bring you forth? Our defense is a broken Jesus for broken people. Here is brokenness that makes the worst of life bearable. The brokenness of Jesus Christ. We are forever known, held, loved, understood, and befriended in our brokenness and whatever it entails. Jesus comes near because he has been there also. You no longer need to bear anything that is broken, that is breaking you alone. Jesus' agony in Gethsemane in Mark 14:32-42. Jesus' despair on the cross in Matthew 27:45-46. And Hebrews 2:9-18, where it is explained that because Jesus was broken and suffered, he can meet us exactly where we are at, extending mercy in our time of need. Let's just stop there. Somebody just said to me the other day, how can you go through what you go through? And so because I have been broken, you know, going through that and gotten broken because of it, and God healed me, I was able to sit down and explain to them how they could also go through this thing that they're going through and come out on the winning end. See, it's all about your testimony, isn't it? Well, I lived with a drunken husband for 50 years. And he finally got saved. And somebody said, well, how did you do that and still be sane? And then you can tell them all about how Jesus gave you strength. You know, I don't have either one of my husbands drank, but I have grandkids too. And you know, God has to give you strength to get through these days. They're trying to get their feet on the ground, but they're so bound they can't. Somebody has to love them and pray for them until God does whatever it is he's going to do with them. And you know, God has given me a promise about my grandkids, so that's what I hold on to, even though my eyes say, I don't see how, you know. But God has given me a promise, a covenant, and he always keeps his promises. Are you understanding this? I hope so. It'll help you. It'll really help you help others. What are we here for? We are here to help other people be free and understand the love of Jesus. All right, what are the characteristics of brokenness? As we just learned, real brokenness will manifest itself differently from person to person. David was full of regret and mental torment. His surrender to God was one of the reasons why he was called a man after God's own heart in the Bible. And then after Peter had denied the Lord, the Bible says that he wept bitterly. God took Peter's state of surrender, coupled with his repentant heart, and restored Peter to where he was an apostle of the faith. Don't ever give up. God, you know, you cry out to God, God is going to set you free. God is going to do exactly what he told you he's going to do in your life. Too many, the devil convinces people to give up, and they do, and then you lose out on God. Don't give up. All right? When the Lord Jesus Christ knew that he would be accomplishing his Father's will by giving his own life, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Imagine your Savior so heavy laden that he was sweating blood, not for his own sin, but for yours and mine. We don't sweat no blood for anybody else's sin. Kill them, Lord. You know, get them out of my life. Take them away. I don't want to look at them no more. That is not what it's all about. It's not what it's all about. It's all about, Father God, I remember what you did for me. You loved me through my stupidity. And now I'm going to love this person through their stupidity also. In other words, their bondage. All right. We have to love. We have to love. There's no, you know, no question about it. We have to love. And as we love others, God, then you untie God's hands and he's able to work in their life. Now, question, are you spiritually broken? There are many characteristics of brokenness, as we can see in the biblical examples of brokenness in the lives of King David, the Apostle Peter, Judas Iscariot, and even Jesus. Are you crushed under the weight of desperation and grief by outward circumstances? Is your heart fractured because of the choices you made by choosing sin? What is the biblical meaning of brokenness? We have two choices in life when we are experiencing brokenness. One, we can resist it or yield to it. Resisting the trials that can bring us closer to God will only make us resent God and pull away from him. It will only take us further from God's heart. Now, when we yield to the brokenness and cry out to God for help, God is molding us into a vessel that is fit for his use. And that's what I did when he told me what was going on. But it all started with somebody who cared enough to sort of look over. They could tell I was hurting. They looked over that, and they looked into the heart of God and prayed. Are you understanding this? You can rest assured God will use your broken heart as a tool for his glory. And the brokenness remains part of your history. It never goes away. Your brokenness of spirit will, while walking the broken way, will be used by God's power. And not only that, but God also isn't going to hastily spack up the cracks with a temporary solution that will fail in the future. In other words, he's not going to patch you up. God will fill your brokenness with gold and the hope of the glory of God. God will never waste your brokenness. God will use your brokenness for growth in Christ. Brokenness can yield beautiful fruit in our lives as we turn to focus on our will, on our will be done to his will be done. Are you listening here? We need to start focusing on Jesus and not on what is going on in our lives. The only place we should turn to in our brokenness is to the Lord. When you hold your heartache in your hands, you risk becoming bitter towards the Lord. What you do is you start building that wall around your heart. Remember the wall? You don't want that wall started. Get those bricks out of the way. Don't let them start. Brokenness results in humility, a contrite heart, and true repentance. Being broken before the Lord gives us an outlook that there is a greater purpose for this life. Don't go around saying you're just like Jesus until you can suffer for somebody else. Too many people are thinking they're just like Jesus and they're not. And one day when you stand before the Father and he starts telling you all the things you didn't do, you're going to understand how you failed the Father, because you wouldn't walk in love. You wouldn't hold that person up before the Lord, no matter how much they hurt you. All you can think about is how they were betraying you, how they hurt you. And really, they're not betraying you, they're not hurting you, they're doing it to Jesus, right? So let's get our head out of the sand, and let's look at to the Father and understand that we are here to help others. Why do you think God cleaned you up? It wasn't that you could walk around and say, you know, look at the anointing I have, or whatever you say. He cleaned you up because he knew you were strong enough to endure the assignments he was going to give you. Come on. Suffering as Jesus hung on the cross in pain and agony for the redemption of mankind, God will use your suffering to bring him glory. God will use your story so others can see God working through your weakness. Say that again. As Jesus hung on the cross in pain and agony for the redemption of mankind, God will use your suffering to bring him glory. God will use your story so others can see God working through your weakness. And the scriptures about being broken is Ezekiel 34:15. God said, I will feed my flock and lead them to rest, says the Lord God. I will search for the lost, bring back those that strayed away, put bandages on those that were hurt, and make the weak strong. But I will destroy those sheep that are fat and strong. I will keep with fairness. Psalm 7:3 says he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Psalm 51:10 says David said, create in me a pure heart, God, and make my spirit right again. And Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those whose spirits have been crushed. Also, and then the next one is also read the complete chapter of Psalm 51. So it said that God heals our brokenhearted, so then there is hope. How can we heal our broken spirit? I wished I could say there's an easy solution, but there isn't. Sometimes God puts an end to our suffering, and we come through our battle victoriously with an instant healing. Other times, like the lady who had an issue with blood for 12 long years, she had to wait for God's perfect timing. Jesus is a healing ointment that we can apply to the brokenness of our souls. All right, one thing is sure. Whether we are healed instantly or have to endure, God works his divine will in our lives, and he will be glorified. And as stated in Isaiah 61:3, God will give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God knows exactly what we have need of. Isaiah 61:3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And when Jeremiah was mourning the siege of Israel by the Babylonians, he asked two questions. Is there a balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? You know, I love that song, that first song we sing. I know y'all probably think I'm a little bit weird, but, you know, bye-bye Babylon. They're saying God's taken them out of captivity. You know, he's saying goodbye, captivity. We're going into freedom. I love that song. You know, it's just feed your spirit. If you really let these songs off, feed your spirit, man. So Jeremiah 8:21 says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, am I, Jeremiah, hurt? I go around mourning. Dismay has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people restored? And then it said there, because Zion no longer enjoyed the presence of the great physician, Jesus. There is a balm in Gilead. Jesus is the healing ointment that we can apply to the brokenness of our souls. And one last scripture, Psalm 30:5. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. See that? Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Being broken before God isn't easy. It really isn't. It is a time of deep soul searching, leaning not to our own understanding and allowing God's truth to permeate the darkness of the world that has surrounded us. Hold on. God is going to get the glory from your brokenness. Your weeping may endure for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. And I'm going to tell you that God got glory because of my brokenness, because when I went and asked the people to forgive me, we all embraced each other and we all wept together. And they said, we know that God holds you always in his hands. See, God used my brokenness to heal. God wants to use your brokenness to heal. But you first of all have to let God tell you you're broken. And then you have to go before God, why am I broken? You have to get all your answers for yourself. I don't have your answers. I just know that we are now in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we are experiencing what Jesus did, and that is brokenness. And here's a prayer. Lord God, we come before you mired in our own brokenness. You never promised us an easier painless life, but you have promised to purify our hearts, to be more like you. We lay our heartaches before you. We give you the pieces of our broken marriage. We lay down the messy life that we have made and stand before you as a broken person in need of your grace. Help us not to resist in pride, but to be of humble spirit. Anoint us with your oil of gladness and help us to trust that you work all things together for your good. Take my broken life, Lord. I give it to you. And I hope you did that this morning. God wants to show you favor this morning. God wants, some of you gave that brokenness to him, and he wants to heal you. The altar's open right now because he said there is healing balm in Gilead. And this morning what he wants to do is heal you of that brokenness. He wants to set you free once and for all, never to have that brokenness plague you ever again.